Blessed Savior, we're grateful for who you are this morning. Glad that because you live, we live also. Thank you, Father, for the love that you have for us, willing to sacrifice your own Son. Oh God, we love you and praise you. Thank you for the hope that we have in you this morning, that hope steadfast and sure. I pray, Lord, as your word goes forth, it might not be in man's wisdom, but, Lord, in demonstration of the power and of the Spirit of God. Open our hearts this morning, Jesus. In your name we ask him, amen. I want to go to the book of Titus this morning. The second chapter of Titus, and reading from verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly or serious-mindedly, righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, or a people for a possession, zealous of good works. I want to look this morning for a while as God enables, something that the grace of God brought to you. I'm grateful that God's Son humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We had a young couple in our house about a week ago, and they just wanted to sit down and talk about the Word of God. I asked them if they knew Christ as personal Savior, and they assured me that they did, but somehow during our conversation, we got back to Isaiah in the 53rd chapter. And I don't understand all that's in that chapter. God willing, it pleased him to bruise his own Son. As we talked about the sacrifice of Christ, these two young ladies began to weep and talk about how much they love Christ. I think of the words there in Hebrews 2 and 3, that how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How are we going to escape? I was dealing with a young lady last week, and she got stuck on smoking cigarettes, and she was deeply, not depressed, but craving that nicotine fit that she had. Begging somebody to bring a cigarette to her. I began to talk to her about the Lord, and, you know, God's able to break that kind of bondage in any people's lives. But my heart was grieved as we began to talk. She said, you know, I've been saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and it did nothing for me. She said, I crave the nicotine because I know what it will do for me. I said, young lady, I pray and hope that you wouldn't walk away from Christ for a cigarette. Amen. Yes, I would. How are we going to escape if we neglect? Twice in Scripture, it bears a line of thought, and once with Moses, and Paul brought out the same line of thought. God said, I will be gracious unto whom I will be gracious, and I will be merciful unto whom I will be merciful. In other words, God is saying, it's my grace. I challenge you to tell me what to do with it. And John saw him coming, full of grace and truth. He saw him as a lamb that takes away the sin of the world. The word says we have consolation and good hope through grace. God has given me something that I find more and more every day that I cannot do without. It's God's grace on my life. And the word says that Enoch walked with God. And I believe that Noah, the word says, he found grace in the eyes of God. Moses found grace in the eyes of God. Enoch walked with God several hundred years. I believe he tasted of the grace of God. He doesn't say that, but he was walking along and suddenly he disappeared. He tasted of something God had to offer. One of these days, you and I, by God's grace, we're going to be walking along and we're going to taste of something that the world knows nothing about. I'm going to be walking along, and don't look for me. I'll not be here. I'll be in the presence of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Grace. My wife and I had another opportunity we felt led to visit a young man and his wife. They were having severe problems in the marriage. We spent a number of days with them and talking to them personally between the husband and wife. And when we got back home and they listened, God's bringing healing to the marriage. One young lady walked away. One young couple went with Christ. How are we going to escape it? God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. I'm glad for him this morning. The word says that God is long-suffering and of great mercy. Paul mentions in Ephesians that God is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Aren't you glad God loves you? You glad God loves you? I can say I love him only because he first loved me and gave himself for me. Peter speaks that because of the abundance of mercy that God has begotten us again with a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I'm glad for him this morning. And I've been blessed with all spiritual blessings because of him. But when I think of the grace of God and what it provided for me, and this is a lifetime study. You'll never reach the depth of it. The unsearchable riches of Christ. In this life, you're going to have many bumps in the road, trials and testings that come our way. Our sister and we deeply appreciate those that are permitting to stay in her home. We deeply love your pastor and his wife. They mean so much to us. And as you go on life, because of God's grace, I begin to realize that I can reign in life by one Christ Jesus. The devil doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care what he uses. He'll go through your children. He'll go through your husband and wife. He'll go through your cohorts at work. The devil doesn't care. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but Christ came to give life and that more abundantly. And I'm glad I can reign, and I've learned it more and more, and I'm just beginning to learn. Because of God's grace, I can reign in life by one Christ Jesus. I realize that I'm more than a conqueror through him which loved me and gave himself for me. God always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. I think of what God said to Moses at the children of Israel, I will lead you, I will guide you, I will feed you, I will bring you out, and I will bring you in. This same God will lead us today. He will guide us, he will teach us, he will bring us out, but God desires to bring us in to the fullness of the blessings of God. Saints, if God be for you, who can be against you? Enemies will come on all sides. God, and I'm glad he's there. But Paul said, well, thanks be unto God, which giveth me the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a couple in our church and severe problems between their son and daughter. They had a daughter in hospital in Topeka and son in the hospital in Kansas City. Just going back and forth and going back and forth. And they keep, well, what am I going to do? I can't take the burden anymore. And my son's taking cancer treatments and look like he's on the verge of death. Saints, God will not permit us to go through something that we're not able to bear, but will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that we might be able to bear it. And it's God that's working in us and through us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. When God has started that work, thank God, God will finish that work. But saints, it's up to you and I as to who we yield to. Paul said, I beseech you by the grace of God, give your bodies a living sacrifice back to God. That's our reasonable service. Think of all that God has done for you. Why shouldn't I love him? Why shouldn't I give my life back to him? The doctor told me one time, so, well, Mr. Hines, you're a walking time bomb. I'm glad for God's grace. The time bomb never went off. God's presence is always there. There was a time in life that just about 1/8 of an inch, I was that close to death. And 600 people would have died with me. But it didn't happen. Why? Because God is a very present help. He's always there. Jesus said, call out to me and I will answer thee. I'm glad God is still in the business of answering our prayers. Amen? Amen. But because of the grace of God, I can reign in life by one Christ Jesus. And David put it this way, oh my soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Why are you depressed? Why are you down in the dumps? And why are you so despondent? Oh, listen, help, hopefully God, he's the only way that we can get out of this thing. Hope in God. Maybe some of you are crying out the same thing, and David will come to you. Well, why are you so despondent? Why are you discouraged this morning? We have one seated at the right hand of God. He's there making intercession for you and I. God hasn't filled my life with fear, but I have a hope in Jesus Christ. We had a member of our family that the doctors told him, well, if something don't happen, well, they're going to commit him to the insane asylum, quote unquote. And I began to pray and seek God, and God just brought me down to that place, and maybe it was good for me. And I said, God, now listen, if you can't heal this member of the family, I don't want to preach it anymore. And God just, I just got that place because the love of my life was ready. Doctor said, nothing we can do. A young Baptist preacher came and knocked on the door, and he said, David, well, I don't know why God sent me down here to preach or to minister to you. He prayed for me, gave me scriptures, and left. And as soon as I sat down, the telephone rang. The doctor said, well, Mr. Hines, come and get your wife. I said, well, doctor, you said there's no hope. He said, I don't know what's happened, but she wants to go home. She's healed. I said, listen, no matter what we go through, God is there. We have victory in Christ Jesus this morning. Don't tell me God's not alive this morning. Victory in Christ, ruling and reigning with him. And I'm glad for the grace of God. Now, saint, listen, value this. Because of the grace of God, the word said that the grace of God will teach us. Value the word of God. Stand in all of God's word. Make it part of your life. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Grow up unto him into all things. Say, we need the word of God today. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's the Holy Spirit that will take us into the deep things of God and reveal it unto us. There are times when I've been by myself and things begin to happen and I had only one alternative. I turned to God. I begin to seek the answer in God's precious word and says, it's there. Job put it this way, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Acquaint yourself with God. How do you do that? Get into the word of God and study it. I tell our people, memorize one verse a day. Pray over it. Then tomorrow, memorize another verse today. Do this on a daily basis, and you'll be surprised when that time comes how much the Holy Spirit will bring those scriptures to your remembrance and say, listen, there'll be a time in your life you're going to face that. You're going to need God's precious word. There are a lot of things in life, and this young couple, and we're acquainted with them. A lot of things I don't understand. How a woman can take her children out in the forest and 2 and 6 and 8 year old kids and shoot them. And go back to her own home and get out of the car and shoot herself. I don't understand. Don't ask me to. I don't know what brought them to that. But I tell you, even the deepest trials that we go through, Jesus Christ is still there. He's still there. He knows the burdens. And Saint, I believe, God knows what our hearts, what we're going through. But Saint, take the word of God, make it part of your life. And oh, I'm getting the worst. You know, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. But it's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. You're not going to get it all in 6 months' time. It's a daily searching the Word of God. We followed a young man home one time, and his wife was in another car, and somebody ran a red light and broadsided her. Happened pretty hard. He jumped out of the car while he was behind her and went over and opened the door, and she was just that close to death. What are you going to say? We jumped out of the car, went up, and tried to comfort him. Pray with him. Give him scriptures. Now, Saint, listen, only Jesus. Only Jesus. Only Jesus when that time comes. Oh, I'm glad for God's precious word. Glad that God has separated us. I don't feel like I'm much of a preacher, but I'm grateful that God separated me, that I can be used for His glory. Oh, Saint, listen, we're in a dying world, a vicious, cruel world. People need Jesus Christ. Oh, thank God for His precious word. But ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I can't do it. Your neighbors can't do it. Nobody else can do it. But Saint, listen, there's one that can. Ye shall know the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. Ye shall know Him. Oh, thank God. Job said, acquaint now thyself with him. David said, oh, my soul hungers and thirsts for God. How about you this morning? The grace of God that brought salvation hath appeared. I'm glad He showed up at the right time. The Saint, listen, this God-man or this person, this one that we serve this morning, he's not a babe in a manger. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah this morning, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, there at the right, hallelujah, at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Oh, saints, we need, don't tell me you don't need Christ. Don't tell me you don't need the Holy Spirit. We need him in our life this morning. Without that power, where are you going to be this morning? That power convicts us and draws us to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I'm glad for the Word of God this morning, but say, stand in awe of God's precious Word. The Word says, stand in awe of him. Stand in awe of him this morning. We were dealt with this young lady one time, and she came into the church, and her parents called the daughter in and said, I need to talk to the daughter. But I want you to sit here and just listen to what's said and don't say a word. I guess the daughter's saved. I don't know. We began to talk to her about some things that took place in the church. I said, oh, Pastor SOB, I don't need to answer to you. I said, lady, that's enough. There's the door. No respect for Christ. No respect for the house of God. We are to deny ungodliness, separate ourselves from these things. Think it's not a holier-than-thou attitude. It's people that want more of Christ. As this young lady that wanted a cigarette, she was satisfied. That's all she wanted. She was willing to step aside and go with a cigarette and drop Christ. How are we going to escape? You're not going to escape. One of these days, you're going to see him face to face. What am I going to say? I don't know, but I long for that time. When I receive that glorified body, I'm going to be just like him. See him as he is. When that time comes and I look at him face to face, I want to hear him say, David, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We've had family separate from us. We had family that don't care what we believe in. Go with God. When it's all said and done, I'm not going to answer to my relatives. I'm going to answer to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Make the Word part of your life. Grow up into him. Because of this grace that God has given. Well, the last 3 or 4 weeks, and it seemed like God just dumped one situation in our lap, one right after another. Be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within you, but you know, you don't know. Suddenly, God's going to send somebody to you. And again, one time the doctor said, you know, tell me, well, Mr. Hines, you're a walking time bomb. I think of the time that Paul prayed. God, I have this thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan to buffet him. God, please take it away. You ever pray that way? God, I can't stand it anymore. I'm at wit's end. God, take it away. Physically, financially. Any case you may be going through, God, I've reached the end. I can't take it anymore. I love the Word of God. But God looked down with grace to the eyes of the Apostle Paul. And Paul, now listen, I'm not going to take it away. You're going to have to understand this. I'm not going to help. Hallelujah! I'm not going to take it away, but my grace is sufficient for thee. Oh, Satan, no matter what you go through, God's grace is sufficient for every need that you may have in this life. God is there as a present help in the time of need. We go from strength to strength. From grace to grace. But I depend upon who Jesus Christ is and what he can do in my life. There are times I say, well, God, listen, I need you right now. I don't know what to do. And then immediately God brought the answer. Oh, Saint, listen. That all-sufficient grace that God has given you. How are we going to escape if we neglect that so great salvation? God's grace. I'm glad for that this morning. My wife and I both could tell you of many miracles that have passed our home front. God, what are we going to do? My wife one Sunday morning was playing the organ, another lady playing the piano. She said, honey, listen, I've got such severe headaches. I can't stand it anymore. She had them for most of her life. We called the saints together, come up to front and pray for her. She said, it just felt like something went out toward the top of her head and went out, and hallelujah, she's never had it since then. Don't tell me God's grace is not sufficient. God healed her completely, saying, listen, God is in the healing business. I'm glad for doctors. I'm glad for nurses. But one doctor told me one time, he said, now, Mr. Hank, listen, I'm not God. I can only do what I can do. I said, I know that, but I have another healer. Jesus Christ. They try to help all they can. Thank God for nurses and doctors. Thank God for them. Went to a nurse, doctor not long ago. God healed me completely of cancer. Hallelujah, God's grace, God's grace, God's grace, God's grace. She thought I was hurting, and she came over and put her arms around me and said, oh, Mr. Hanks, I'm so sorry. I love you. This is coming from a nurse. But they had compassion on other people. They love other people. They do what they can to help. I'm glad for that grace. All sufficient because of his grace. You know, we've been enriched by Christ. It's Christ in here, the hope of glory. I'm glad for that this morning. Oh, we've been enriched in him. The word says, whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery. This mystery. Christ in you. Christ in you. God's here this morning. Because of this grace that provided by God. In grade school, when I grew up, even towards going into high school, I was what you called a loner. I really didn't feel like people cared for me, wanted to be around me. And it just built up in my life, and I believed that. People would come to visit our parents, and I would hide behind my mother's skirt because I was afraid of people. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares for me. There are times that saint, listen, that you have to depend on Jesus Christ. When this grace appeared on my life, I don't remember when I was saved. And somebody said, well, Mr. Hines, if you don't remember, then you're not saved. Well, that's... I know it's saved because I have it here. I have it here. But he forgot, I realized, when I was in the eighth grade, the altar that we have in church, I can point to the spot where I was filled with the Holy Spirit on a Sunday night. Sister Gruber said, it sounds like he's learning 10 languages at once. God left me with that memory. God's been good to me, but Satan, when Christ accepted me, the word says, to praise to the glory of his grace, I'm accepted in the beloved. You have people that don't like you? He does. You have people that reject you and walk away? He doesn't. He's one that will love you with an everlasting love. Say, thank God. When I go to him, say, I don't have to bow my head in shame. The word says that I can walk into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Why? Because I'm accepted in the Beloved this morning. I'm His and He's mine. I'm accepted in Him. No matter what the human race may say, I'm accepted in Jesus Christ. He's making up His jewels, and I thank God for that. And one of these days, by God's grace, I'm going to be one of those finished jewels. I'm going to sit and rule and reign with Him. In the book of Revelation, about the first three chapters, you know, He that overcometh, He that overcometh, He that overcometh, He that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame. I'm glad I'm accepted in Him this morning. Oh, listen, saints. Grace heaped upon grace. Grace heaped upon grace. Grace heaped upon grace. Paul said, now listen, brother. I was saying, listen, if God is for you, who can be against you? You realize you have God with you? You have God in you? You have God for you. What else do you need this morning? I'm accepted in the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe. I became heir of everything that he made. I became an heir of God. An heir of God. I could be a joint heir with Him, if so be that I learn to suffer with Him. Then what? That I might reign with Him. Oh, thank God. When others looked away, appreciate what that brother was trying to mention last night. You know, look right here, right here, you and Jesus, right here. Amen. When others looked away, He looked down deep in my heart, and oh, thank God, He said, oh, David, listen, they've rejected you, but I want you for myself. You realize God wants you this morning? He wants you personally for Himself. You belong to Him. I can walk into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Christ because I'm His this morning. He invites me to come into His presence. God inhabits our praises. Oh, would to God that somehow, you know, tell a saint sometime, I would like to come into church and just so feel the power and the presence of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we just come in and just begin to praise God. Forget about preaching. I don't have the preacher's itch. And I say I'm deeply grateful for the opportunity that your pastor gives me. I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. Unsearchable. The unsearchable riches of Christ. God's grace, God's mercy. God said, I'll be gracious to anyone I'll be gracious to. I'll be merciful to anyone I want to be merciful to. Challenge me. What about the prisoners? Yes, I worked in a prison for 20 years and retired from the federal prison system. What about the outright murderers? You think when they call upon Jesus Christ that God hears? I've had people tell me, you know, when I worked there, well, Mr. Hines, now listen, once a prisoner, always a prisoner. I said, I'm sorry, I don't believe that. They're here in prison because of what they did. According to the laws of the land, they're paying their price. But according to the blood of Christ, it's all forgiven. Hallelujah, because of the blood of Christ, all forgiven in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Oh, I think, you know, that word says that pleased God to bruise Him. I thought there on Calvary's cross, Jesus hung there. My God, my God, my God. Why have you forsaken me? The word says God is of pure eyes that he couldn't look at sin. He didn't hate his son. He turned his back on him because he became the one thing that God couldn't look at. He became sin for you, that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a trade-off. God took all of, hallelujah, all of my sins and gave me his righteousness. Because of God's grace. Listen, I hope you love him this morning. I hope he's first in your life. I asked a young man one time, I said, well, no, you know, you love Christ? Yeah, I love him with all my heart. I said, what if God would take your little children or take you and leave the children behind? Well, I don't want that. You see, God wasn't first in his life. God's not going to just take the children and, you know, do away with it. But he came to a decision. My children are first. No, God's first. God's first. When Paul came to the end, he said, I fought a good fight, I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not to me only, but unto all of those that love his appearing. Are you ready for it? You really want Christ to come today? Hallelujah, I pray like John of old. God, even so, come quickly. I want to see him today. I don't care what the cost in this life. I want to see him face to face that died for me. Yes, God will take care of everything else, but Saint, God wants to be first in my life. He wants to be first. And I'll tell you, it'll happen. Sometimes God will push you against the wall and push your back up against the wall, and you're going to have to make a decision. Christ or what the world has to offer. We make that decision on a daily basis. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. My wife and I have talked many times. We're grateful for where we're at, what God has given us in this world. We don't have much and we don't want any more. We're just thankful for Christ. And we're willing to give it all. If God should say, well, listen, I'm coming today, I would shout the praises of God and say, well, God, even so, come quickly. But God has given you an opportunity. You know all of these scriptures. I'm just laying what God has laid upon my heart. But God has given every one of us one of the greatest opportunities that we'll ever get in this life. One of the greatest invitations that God has granted the human race. Now the word says hell hath enlarged itself. And it's sad. Many people going into eternity without Christ. God didn't send them there. They sent themselves there because they disbelieved and wanted nothing to do with Christ. But God gave me something. I tell you, sometimes I wake up in the night and shouting and praising God and just getting by myself and worshiping God. God, listen, you supplied our every need. Well, listen, you take care of our home. We have food. We have precious saints to minister to. And these are saints that when they first come into the meeting didn't believe in the bride of Christ, but I'll tell you, you approach them today, they're shouting the praises of God. They have seen it. They have seen it. I said, well, God, all of this, and you too? All of this? David said, now listen, you better start running. This race is just about over with. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Paul said, we press forward for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. St. Gaius has given us that opportunity. Hallelujah. I'm running to be in the bride of Christ and say, listen, the race is just about over with. Hallelujah. It's just about over with. The coach I had in high school, God gifted me in running, but I always made a mistake in running. I was one of the fastest quarter milers in our area, Topeka, Kansas. But I had one bad mistake, and boy, the coach just ripped me up one side and down the other. I would be almost to the finish line, and I would look back this way, and here he came that way. God said, now, Dave, coach said, now, David, listen. You had the race won, but you hadn't made one mistake. You looked backwards, and you lost the race. I'm saying, listen, there are many people that are looking backwards. And it's costed them one of the best things that God has ever offered the human race. Running to be in the bride of Christ. I wouldn't trade this for anything else the world has to offer. Well, Saint, listen. Well, he's not here this morning. I may not look up much, but Saint, listen. God has a jewel here. I'm one of God's jewels. You're one of God's jewels. We had the privilege of watching the diamond cutter in Israel one time. Bought a big rock like that, an ugly looking thing. He set it on the table and began to hack it right down the middle. And little by little, he began to tear the outside apart, and on the inside was a beautiful diamond. That's the way it is with us. Listen, on the outside, there's things that God wants you to lay aside. Drop it and go on with Christ. But on the inside, there's a diamond. God said, they shall rule with me. They're my people. They're going to rule with me. We're told in Revelation, let us give honor and glory unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Made, M-A-D-E, just four little letters. But in the Greek, it means to yield to follow after, to seek after. Saints, if I want to be in the bride of Christ, I make myself ready by yielding to him and letting God work in me. When God takes something out of your life, he always puts something better back in. I wonder if Christ isn't standing at the right hand of God. This is just speculation. I don't know. Standing at the right hand of the Father, God, can I? God, can I? Oh, please, Father, can I? Can I call him home now? Nobody knows the day nor the hour but the Father. In John, this is one of God's desires, that you and I be there with him, that we can share in the glory he has with the Father. Can you imagine what God gave you because of grace? God's unmerited favor. God didn't give you what you deserved. He gave you what you needed. He gave you Christ. Every one of us are going to take a basket into eternity. A little bowl. Just kind of picture that. But the size, this, you know, when you get into eternity, the difference is going to be the size of the cup that you took with you. You can either give your all to Christ and let that cup fill up over and over and over again. Let it spring forth with the blessings and the mercy of God. You ever tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Oh, it's like honey to the lips. I get into Psalms and begin to read it. I can't lay it down. What good tasting. I want my cup full when my eyes are closed and I open them up and see him. I want to be able to lay something back down at his feet and say, well, God, this is what you have done through me. Not me, but you. Someone that go into eternity, the only thing they're going to have to rejoice in is that the fact that they're saved. I think of this young lady that craving cigarettes. She's going to lose it all. No yieldedness to God, nothing. What's she going to do when she sees him face to face? God's going to say, well, you know, what did you mean by that statement? I'll give you up for a cigarette. In eternity, God's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards you and I. How deep does grace go? How far does the love of God go? How deep does the mercy of God go? What can you say about it? Paul, how about you? Oh, listen, I am what I am. I am what I am by the grace of God plus nothing. Sometimes I wonder how people can just sit quietly and be so reserved. And, well, I'll tell you, I can almost run the aisles. God is here this morning. God is in our presence this morning. God wants more of you this morning. He wants your praise. He wants your glory. He wants your honor. Give it back to God this morning. What about the person that's sitting next to you? What about him? Open your mouth and praise God for what he's done. Last Wednesday, I believe it was, we brought this prayer request. And I valued the saints of God deeply than they realize. When we told of this woman that killed her three sons and took her own life, everybody in the congregation in the Bible study bowed their heads and began to weep before God in behalf of that family. Saints, when one suffers, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we rejoice with them. And I really valued they didn't ask any questions. They just all together as one just began to praise God. Because they were, well, God, you're there. He's the God of all comfort. I don't know what to say sometimes, but he does. He does. He knows what to say. Grace, grace, grace. Grace, heaped upon grace. Your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, grace. You've been filled with the Holy Spirit, it's grace. You've been healed in your body, it's grace. You felt the God of all comfort, it's grace. You know the God of mercy, that's grace. You know of the God of hope, that's grace. You have a reason for living this morning, that's grace. Since the world is sin sick, we need God in our nation. Somebody asked me one time, well, Pastor, now listen. Are you Democrat or are you Republican? I said, excuse me. I'm not a Democrat, I'm not a Republican, I'm a Jesus man. We get so wrapped up in these things, we get our eyes off of Christ and onto the people. I'm saying, listen, there's a separation that's coming, and it's been coming for years. And suddenly, one of these days, God's going to look at his son and say, well, son, hallelujah, bring him home, bring him home, bring him home. Oh, bring him home, 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 bring him home. And say, listen, I'm going to be like him. I'm going to be fashioned like him. I'm going to have a body like his. Oh, how can people sit still and be so quiet? We was in a meeting in Texas one time, and my dad went there, and I didn't get to go. He was telling us about it later. And my dad is like Bill, he always wants to sit up to the front. And he said, he heard this commotion. And he was afraid to look back. He didn't know what it was. Thuds, all kind of weird noises taking place. He said, Sonny, couldn't take it anymore. He looked back. And there was a little cloud passing from pew to pew. Now, this is truth. Going from pew to pew. Dad turned around and looked, and about that time, the cloud hit him. He said, the last thing I remember, I was in the floor speaking in tongues and praising God. Jesus Christ is here this morning. You having family problems? Listen, he delivers. Physical problem, he delivers. Well, I'll tell you, I had enough physical problems in the last 2 years, the last lifetime. Last week or a couple weeks ago, that had a week, 3 weeks of coughing. Couldn't get over it. They ran me to the nurse, and I was going. The nurse took one leg and said, well, need to get you to the hospital. You got the flu. She went, I said, well, I don't want to go to the doctor. I'm going to tell you why, but my wife will tell you. I said, I don't want to go to the doctor. She went out of the room and came in. Said, your family doctor said, well, get you to the hospital. You're going to go. And I said, I don't want to. You're going anyway. Well, I'll tell you, they get stubborn. I get stubborn sometimes. But I had a reason for that. So they took me to the hospital and x-rays and had a blood clot in the back of my brain. And the carotid valves are plugged up, one piston 70%, and this one 60%. They drew all kinds of blood out of your arm and said, well, come back in. Well, you don't have the flu? So, well, I could have told you that. They got x-rays and went out, and they came back a little later and said, well, Mr. Heinz, you don't have pneumonia. So, well, I could have told you that. I said, you get a hold of the doctor and tell him, I want to go home. But an hour or so later, well, go tell Mr. Heinz to go home. There's nothing wrong with him. Don't tell me God can heal anything he wants to heal. Amen. You're so burdened down this morning, the healer is here. You want to be filled this morning? The healer is here. You want better finances? The healer is here. You want an unsettled peace? The healer's here. You want more grace in your life? The healer's here. All kinds of healings in the Word of God. Physical, mental, spiritual, even the tongue. We need to turn everything we have back to Jesus Christ. And saying, listen, God's preparing a people. There's a sifting going on. I don't turn to the White House, I turn to God. There's a sifting going on. Because one of these days, you know, God's going to take his people home and the White House is still going to be there. Put your eyes on Jesus Christ. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. All of your ways acknowledge him. Shall we pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we're thankful this morning for the grace of God that brought salvation. The depth of it, Lord, it just makes our hair stand on end when we think of what you did for us. The breathing, the mockery, the piercing, the fist in the face. Almost indescribable, people couldn't tell who you were. But Lord, you cried out, not my will, but thine be done. What you did it for us. Thank God for grace. As our heads are bowed, just silently praying for a second. I wonder, there may be anyone here that you don't know Christ as personal Savior. Would you raise your hand and say, Brother Heinz, pray for me. I need Christ. I need Christ. Does anyone need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You haven't tasted of that yet. You would like for us to pray with you. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me. I've not experienced that yet. God is gracious. He's merciful. Perhaps there are those that you may need healing for the body. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I have physical needs. Would you pray for me? Hands going up all over the place. Where's I'm going to ask some of the pastors, Bill, Lee, and Penny, where's the doctor at? Some of our pastors that would come forward, please. Sister Clark there in the back. I don't know where Brother Jesse is, but...